And I want to thank all of you for being here to help form this community this morning. This is such an important part of our week, each week, taking this time to reflect, to be intentional with God, to call ourselves to account. We hope that this time will help you feel connected to community and to faith, and that this will be a nourishing and a refreshing moment for you. If this is your first Sunday here, a very, very special welcome to you. Know that we gather after this service for tea and coffee and conversation right through that door, and we hope that you'll stay and just say hello and introduce yourself. If you're here with kids, we want you to feel right at home. So Nicole, who's our nursery helper today, she's at the back, and kids are welcome to gather with her. And when we get to the part in our service that's called the blessing of learning, Nicole will take the kids downstairs to their special area for programming down there. But we get that some kids like to stay with their parents and grandparents. That's fine. That's fine too. We've got the quiet area at the back. Stand up, move around as you need to. It's all good. Here at Rosedale United Church, we are a hub supporting human flourishing in this community and in our city. And today, in honor of Earth Day yesterday, we have a very special guest speaker with us this morning, Mamona Hossein, who I will introduce more fully later on in the service. But Mamona, do you want to just raise a hand? Mamona's brought her family with her this morning, so I hope that you'll introduce yourself to all of them after the service. And we're just so grateful that you're here with us. Thank you for being here. Rosedale United is proud to be an affirming congregation. This is a community for people of all ages and gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds, and we acknowledge today, as we call ourselves to worship, that we do so on land that has been stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for millennia, and we acknowledge the centrality of land to the spirituality and the identity of the Mississaugas, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Wendat. One last announcement. The beautiful flowers that you're seeing in the sanctuary this morning are from a wedding that we held here yesterday. Many of you will know Eric Matheson and Lori Young. Their daughter Leah was married here yesterday. Greg Bauer is the groom. Anyway, we're so happy for the whole Matheson Young family, and these flowers are in honor of them. Okay, I'm going to invite us all to stand now as we call ourselves to worship. And the words are in your bulletin. Everything in bold is your lines. We worship and rejoice together this Sunday with our planet, Earth. Planet Earth with all its life. This is our beautiful home. People from around the world, young, old, all people, all genders, all faiths, all cultures. Through our common humanity, may we learn to serve. We sing together, "Now the Green Blade Rises." We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Friends, we take a moment now to greet each other with the peace of Christ. This is a simple blessing, just turning to those around you, saying, "Peace be with you," and the response is, "And also with you." Friends, at this time, we bless our learning. This is the time when we invite the kids to go downstairs to the nursery. So we bless their learning, but we also bless our own, because during this service, we are learning and we are growing. So I invite you to join together in the refrain that's printed in your bulletin. Invite us into a moment of silence now to settle more fully into this place and with this people, to open our hearts, to open our minds to spirit. Let us pray. Eternal One, you are the loving source of all that is. Stars and planets, trees and insects, microbes and atoms. All things proclaim your wonder and sing your song. Human One, you are love made real to us. You walk with us, offer your peace, and change the world. Our souls proclaim your grace and sing your song. Living One, our steady breeze, our guiding star, inspire us, fill our sails, quicken our hearts. Our lives declare your peace and sing your song. The earth is yours, O God, and all the fullness therein. When we fail to see life as a gift and choose to exploit your good creation, show us how to live creatively, interconnected with all that is. Teach us how to cherish every facet with deepest thanksgiving. Lead us to find ways to honor your web of life each day, and nurture our souls with a fuller awareness of your heartbeat within it all. Guide us and change us as we pray in the name of your Jesus, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite John Freising for our first reading.
A reading from Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures. Thanks be to God. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for our living today.
Thank you, John. And so a moment now to open the theme. I'm going to ask a question, and what you're invited to do in this time is simply to ponder the question in your own heart and mind. In a moment, Sarah will play a minute or so of just reflective music, and you're invited just to contemplate and to let the question sit with you. Today, in honor of Earth Day, we're asking, how are you being called to sing the song of creation in your own life? How are you being called to sing the song of creation in your own life?
Thank you.
I'm going to invite Mamona forward to introduce our second reading. Because we have Mamona here with us this morning, our second reading is from the Quran. Mamona will introduce us now.
Good morning. So the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language, and so we will listen to the verse in Arabic. And the translation is, it's from chapter 6, verse 38 of the Quran. And so what you'll be listening to is translated as, "All living beings roaming the earth and winged birds soaring in the sky are communities like yourselves. We have left nothing out of the record. Then to their Lord they will be gathered all together."
The English translation of this verse is,
thank you, Mamona. I invite us to stand as we sing in response to these readings, called by earth and sky. And this is in our More Voices hymn book, number 135.
Thank you.
We move more deeply now into a time of prayer for our community and on this day for our earth. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, breath of our breath, spirit of our spirit, blanketing the earth with fog, gently refreshing the growth, nourishing the soil with rains, reaching to the roots of existence, brightly shining sun, warming the earth and all that is. Your Spirit's movement was and is and always will be pulsing through creation, nourishing and nurturing, birthing and enlivening, prodding and supporting.
We give thanks for the blessings of each day, time to spend with family and friends, a variety of foods to nourish our bodies, fresh air to breathe, clean water in abundance, homes that are warm and safe, and the sounds of peace surrounding us. As we dwell with these blessings, keep us ever mindful that not all people know these blessings. Stir in us the desire to be voices of justice, peace, and reconciliation within our community, our country, and beyond our borders.
We pray for justice, peace, and reconciliation. Yearn for justice, peace, and reconciliation. And work for justice, peace, and reconciliation.
As we serve, being the hands and feet of Christ in the world, make us aware of your presence with us and within us, hastening the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so in this moment, we invite you to respond to the words, to the music, to these prayers. You're invited to light a candle, if you like, for a person or place that is on your mind this morning, and we have several stations for you to do so up at the front or on the sides. You're also invited, if you're moved, to make an offering to the life and work of this community, and our box is at the back. You're also welcome just to stay where you are and just have a silent moment to yourself. And so, a moment to respond.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. So each year here at Rosedale United, we choose a theme to guide our thinking, and it sort of always sums up where we're at as a congregation and also where we want to be and what we want to try and do. And this year, our theme is meeting the moment. We really feel like this feels like a moment that we're all living in, right? On the macro level and also on the micro level as a congregation, we are meeting the moment, moving through a lot of change and figuring out how we want to be in this neighborhood and how we can support human flourishing. And every month, we dedicate this third Sunday of the month to a special guest who broadens our thinking when it comes to what it means to meet the moment and how we might engage ourselves as a congregation in new ways to meet the moment. And I'm really honored this Sunday to introduce our special guest for April, our Earth Day Meeting the Moment Sunday. Mamona Hossein is a PhD student in applied eco-psychology, and her research explores what drives climate activists in their work. And she has found that faith can play an important role. Mamona serves on the board of directors for the Muslim Association of Canada. She is a lecturer at the University of Toronto. She's also on the board of directors for Faith and the Common Good, the Willow Park Ecology Center, and she is a contributor to Faithfully Sustainable. Mamona, welcome to Rosedale United Church. We're so pleased that you're with us.
Thank you so much, Reverend Philipson. And even with a little height help, I still needed to pull the mic down. Thank you very much for welcoming me into your congregation this morning and to share in the reflections and the conversations that you're having. As I begin, I say, Assalamu alaikum. In the Islamic tradition, we greet each other much in the same way that you all did this morning. It translates as, may peace be upon all of you. And I begin by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which translates as I begin in the name of Allah, the Creator, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. All praises to the Lord of all the worlds. I also reiterate a land acknowledgement as I begin. I acknowledge that we are situated on this part of Turtle Island to be the traditional territories of the many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples. And for me as a Muslim, this is particularly important because it is part of my faith to stand for truth and justice with a sincere concern for all of humanity and creation. So this conversation on meeting the moment, I'm hoping to maybe bring some of my research, as Dr. Philipson had shared, in terms of where my research has taken me and how faith plays into meeting the moment, particularly in the conversation on climate change. This image here is actually a painting by Safiya Latif, and it's called Moss Climber. Of course, it's her imagination, and I really thought that it kind of fit the conversation that we are having. Thank you so much. So the reality of meeting the moment when we talk about climate change is something that Dr. Ashley Consolo, who's out of the Newfoundland and Labrador Institute for Climate Change, she sums it up really well. There's a film called The Magnitude of Great Things. And in there, what she says is that we are in a very unique position when we're talking about climate change and very much that meeting of the moment. It's that how do we open ourselves up to the pain of what climate change is, but not crumble? Somehow we have to make peace with grief and not give up at the same time, which is very unique in terms of the types of crises that we faced in other times in our lives and in spaces that we're in. And so how do we actually meet that moment with these two very juxtapositioning realities together? And so to that, one of the things that I've been doing is looking into this work called eco-psychology. And, I believe that meeting the moment has something to do with approaching it from this lens. And so what is eco-psychology? Eco-psychology is a study between the relationships that human beings have with the natural world through, as the word itself implies, the ecological and the psychological components that bring this reality together. And it's meant to really look at the emotional elements of what brings us to this situation and what implies our relationship to the earth, and it assists us often with developing sustainable lifestyles. The more we are aware and we respond to those emotional realities of climate change, the more we're able to respond to it through an action-based perspective. And so that's where some of my research has been as well. For me personally, I connect this kind of like this earth community approach as seeing ourselves as part of that community of humanity that is actively engaged in a collective glorification of God. That brings this concept of stewardship, which I think in many of our faith traditions exists, right? The environmental stewards. But it really brings this sacred and divine perspective to stewardship. And one of the verses in the Quran, which you heard earlier this morning, really talks about that, right? That all living beings roaming the earth, winged birds that are soaring in the sky, they're communities like ourselves. So when we start to see it as communities, as beings that engage, that also have all of those emotional, spiritual elements, we see ourselves as part of something bigger, part of that collective that we can engage with, rather than thinking of ourselves as being rescuers of the earth. And then, of course, the rest of that verse says, then to their Lord they will be gathered all together. So us and all of creation will be gathered together. And so this interconnective relationship. So I look at eco-psychology, that faith-based lens, and that's where my research kind of continues to help me grow. And the other perspective I bring to this is a journey of awe, which is my own journey that allowed me, that guided me, that nurtured me to come into this conversation about eco-psychology. And so what is awe? And awe is a feeling that is evoked when one is in the process of something that is so extremely vast that it transcends the boundaries of how we understand the world around us. That when we are in those spaces of the earth, that's what happens, right? We are engulfed in this sense of awe. And awe in the religious context, as studies have shown, firsthand accounts of awe felt through religious, spiritual, nature-connected, arts-connected experiences often center around feelings of being diminished in the presence of something greater than the self and the motivation to be good to others. So that sense of awe, these are some of the emotions that it evokes. And then what awe also does is that it activates beyond the non-verbal. That when we say that we're, in awe, it's because we can't gather the words or the thoughts to actually express that moment. We can only feel it. And so feelings of awe have a potential to activate religious and spiritual states of being that impact behavioral intentions. Awe touches on us deeply through a non-verbal pathway of knowing, understanding, and then behaving. And so to explore this, my research took place where I looked at the personal narratives of over 60 Muslim women globally around the world who have been engaged in various forms of earth-based activism, and asking them this question, learning about, you know, what are their own relationships to the climate change narrative and their perspectives through an Islamic worldview. And these perspectives came from over 36 different countries. And I'm just going to scan through these, Reverend Philipson, quickly to just give you an idea of some of the works that they're involved in, some of the things that they're doing, and some of the women that were involved. So just a few images for you to kind of take a look at. I won't go into too much details here. So they're involved in things like permaculture, interfaith communication, land preservation, indigenous rights and to land and relationships to land, youth that are involved in climate activism and strikes, political work as well. We have marine seawater conservation efforts as well, rainforest conservation as well. And so I'm just going to quickly highlight the narratives of three specific women from this pool of 60, just to give you a quick idea of some of the things that we went through and some of the conversations that we had and what came out of that. So the first lady is Hindu Umaru Ibrahim, and you may actually have come across her story. She is a delegate to the UN. She is from Chad, the Amboro peoples, who are a pastoralist community in Chad, and she is the co-chair of the International Indigenous Peoples Forum on Climate Change and a Sustainable Development Goals advocate for the new UN. And her focus is really on looking at advocating around climate change, and many of you may be aware, Lake Chad, just in the 1980s, until now, has depleted 90%. So there's only 10% of what that lake was that's remaining today. And for a pastoralist community, that is particularly important and impacts their life greatly because they're dependent on that. Indigenous peoples also may not have land citizenship and passports and documentations as pastoralist communities. So as their land depletes, and they have to move into the cities to actually gain a source of living and a source of income, in the absence of those types of documentation, there's a lot of issues that arise from them, let alone losing their identity and their traditions and all of those things. So a lot of Hindus' work is around advocating for those things and some of the real nuanced impacts that happen in the lives of indigenous communities in other parts of the world. And so some of the things that she said when I had this conversation with her is that, you know, we're only one species on this earth of billions of species that exist, yet our impact is insurmountable right now. And if we actually brought ourselves and humbled ourselves to that thought that we're just one species and actually behaved like that, what impacts could we start making? And so she says, we need to respect this balance and know that nature has rights, just as we as humans have rights, and that we are so staunch on making sure that and securing our rights. Are we that invested, and do we think that deeply about the rights of the earth? And some of the verses of the Quran that she reflected on was the one that I shared with you right at the beginning, and then another one which is from chapter 4, verse 54, verse 49. Verily, we have created everything in perfect divine proportion and measure. And really reflecting that everything that exists has its own divine measure. And our behavior and the way that we walk on this land, as we were singing earlier this morning, that divine trust, can we actually really think and live through that divine trust? And those are some things that guide her work. The next lady that I had a conversation was with Saira Ilyas. She's from Dwarindi village in northern Pakistan. And many of you will recall this past summer, the major landslides that were happening in Kashmir and other parts of Pakistan. And her community was one that was impacted. One of the things that she did was started very small, literally in her backyard, started planting trees as a hobby. And what she realized was, she started, you know, this nursery that she started as a hobby in 2006 had the potential then to actually sell these saplings to the forestry department. And as you know, landslide prevention, one of the major things is to actually plant trees as much as you can to ground the soil. And so that's what she started to do to help stabilize the lands. Now, the secondary impact to this was that she actually worked with the women in her community. This community, the closest, they have elementary schools, but the closest middle and secondary schools are, you know, miles away, where you would actually have to go live there if you wanted to have access to education. So these women started a source of income by selling these saplings, started to actually build schools in their neighborhood, and enable the students in, or the children in those communities become students, and she continues to do that work until today. And one of the things she said was that, when I look around in nature, I see that Allah, God, has given us everything in this earth, and I feel so grateful. And to hear somebody who, you know, comparatively to the way that we live, have so little, be able to say this, and whose life is so directly impacted by climate change and has no other choice but to actually deal with the reality, still be able to say this, you know, it ought to, you know, help us pause and reflect about our own duty, where we are, where the choices that we make often are choices, our choices of luxury and choices of efficiency that we make. But what kinds of impact does that have in the wider climate change narrative? And she quoted a few verses of the Quran when I spoke to her, and one of them is from chapter 55, verse 10 to 13. The surah is called Surah Ar-Rahman, the Merciful. And the earth he laid out for the creatures. Therein is fruit and palm trees, having sheaths of dates, and grain having husks and scented plants. So which of your favors of your Lord will you deny? And she repeated this verse many times. Which of your Lord's favors would you deny? And I think that, you know, it's a blessing for somebody to even be in that state, to continuously be able to say that, again, with the realities that they're facing. And I think that that's a nice reminder for us as well. The last lady that I want to draw your attention to is somebody locally here from Windsor, Jana Jindal Al-Rifai. And she is a youth climate activist. She's currently serving as president of the Windsor Essex Youth Climate Council. She's organizing climate strikes within her school. At the time that I spoke to her, she was in high school. Now she's in university, and she continues to do this. She participated in 26 as well as 27. And her big piece is really around raising awareness within her community. And she's really sees this as a duty, and the way that she put it in her words was really beautiful. I think about my grandparents and my great-grandparents. If you think about it, so many people have walked through so many parts of this earth for me to be right here today. When we look at our history, we realize that we're all from everywhere of the same earth, and we are of the entire earth. Nature is for all of us. It does not belong to one person. It belongs to the past as it does to the future. But it is ours right now, in this moment, and we have to protect it, to honor what has passed and to preserve it for the future. Look at what God has made, appreciate it, and protect it. And two verses that she quoted from the Quran, chapter 2, verse 60. Eat and drink of Allah, God's provisions, and do not commit abuse on earth, spreading corruption. So take what you need from it, use as you need from it, but be aware of producing corruption. Be aware that you're consuming from what God has created. And chapter 25, verse 63. The true servants of God of the most compassionate are those who walk on the earth with humility. And when the ignorant address them harshly, they only respond with peace. And so connecting this concept of the most compassionate, which is the Lord, being most compassionate, and then how we walk on this earth with humility, showing gratefulness to the compassion of the Lord. And one thing that came up in conversation with these 60 women, individually, they had no idea I was talking to another one. I was interviewing them all independently. And I asked them this one question: what inspires you to continue your earth-based work? And many of these women are actually working in spaces where it becomes politically dangerous for them to do what they're doing. It becomes physically dangerous. It becomes socially dangerous for them to do, but they are doing it. And so just to contextualize that their answer reflects a lot more than what may some of us, maybe it's, you know, a hobby or we leisurely engage in climate activism. For them, there's many different types of narratives that come to this response. And so the vast majority, I feel like saying it was 60 to 70, I can't remember the percentage, the vast majority of them responded with this. And it's a prophetic narration. A prophetic narration is something that the Prophet Muhammad, who was the final prophet in the Islamic belief, and so his sayings are recorded, and Muslims often try to learn through those in his teachings. And so this is what they said that inspires them, where the Prophet Muhammad said, "If the final hour comes while you have a seedling in your hands, then let them continue to plant it." The final hour meaning what? The day of resurrection, when everything is so busy, there's destruction happening around you, you are anxious, you don't know what the very next moment holds in front of you, you want to leave everything, you want to run. In that moment, if there is a seedling in your hand, continue to plant it. And so for them, the themes that came out here was to continue to act regardless of what's happening around you, to believe, to have hope, and to know that it's that your action still has the potential to have impact in the grand scheme of things. And this concept of meeting the moment and inspiration beyond even those faith-based references, I want to end on this, which is that we can meet the moment very much through nature's inspiration itself, which of course we believe is the creation of God, where we see, and I've put a couple of examples here, that nature, while it is the very object of what climate change is impacting, is showing us inspiration. And so what you have there is an image of a Eurasian lynx, which because it was being poached for fur clothing, was pretty much extinct. For about 20 years, people were not seeing it, and people thought that it was extinct. And now, over the past 5-10 years, there has been a huge comeback of the Eurasian lynx. What you also see here is a tree which is charred. Many of you will remember at the end of 2019, at the beginning of 2020, the Australian wildfires that were ravaging. That happened December, January. This image was taken in April, where sprouts started to come out of those same trees. The bottom picture, you have a woman in Palestine, which is a conflict-ridden area. What she does is she collects the grenade shells, and she plants trees in them, and seedlings. Again, hope, inspiration sprouts. And the last thing, which I think all of us will relate to, is we walk through any sort of a concrete flooring, and life just sprouts. It cannot be held back. And so I think that amidst what we see in this moment, as Reverend Philipson was saying, you know, I think that we just have to look around and realize that we can respond, and we can be inspired by nature itself to respond. I'll take the next slide. Thank you. And as I meet you here today in this moment, there are a few things that are the reality of this very moment. And that is, some of you will know that the new IPCC report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UN report, came out just about a month ago, which was the summary of 5 years of climate change data. And we are, unfortunately, one of the key findings is that we are very close to that 1.5 degrees Celsius mark of global warming due to carbon emissions and so forth. And it may, if we continue the way that we are, it may be very few years until we reach that, which is catastrophic for all of us. In this moment, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said was that this report is a clarion call to massively fast-track climate efforts by every country, every sector, on every time frame. Our world needs climate action on all fronts, everywhere, everything, all at once. And so the other realities is that I understand that Lent recently finished for your congregation. And for my community, we were fasting during the month of Ramadan. And we just finished, and we're actually on the third day of celebrating Eid. And so my family's actually here with me because we'll be celebrating after this as well. And so all of these things that are happening together, and this concept of fasting, which yourselves you did and we did as well, this concept of practicing self-restraint for a higher purpose is a shared narrative that we all have for the sake of preserving that which is sacred. And so if any of us have come out of this practice of fasting, or at least recognizing the importance of this, of self-preservation or self-restraint for the sake of that which is sacred, I think that is a narrative that we can carry in our practices for climate change as well. And so the 4 points of meeting the moment with faith. Number one, faith in the face of climate crisis requires us to come with a sense of awe of nature, to really gain that appreciation. Number two, the earth itself is an example of hope amidst the crisis itself. Number three, moving beyond the space of despair and grief and moving into a space of connection, action, and hope is what the earth requires of us. And number four, the earth is asking something unique from us, and I believe we have the capability to respond through faith-based grounding and earth connections together. And I'll take the next slide. Today is Earth Day, or yesterday was Earth Day, and this may be fresh in our minds today, but my hope is that we be inspired towards earthly actions, not just today, but a commitment as we move beyond today as well. I thank you for letting me be with you in this moment and sharing in this conversation in your congregation. And I hope that we can continue to meet and have dialogue. As I close, I also close with, I'll take the next slide, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, may peace be upon you. And I'll leave you with a slide. If there is anything that you would like to know more about the work that I'm doing, I am on social media. My email address is up there. I love to hear from people and also learn from things that others are doing. I host a podcast as well, which is online. And the project that I'm running right now is called Islam and Earth. And just at the bottom there, you'll see a quick snippet so you can find that website. You'll find publications that I work on these topics of eco-psychology and environmental work. And that image is just there so that you can recognize if you find me on social media, that's the picture that you're looking for. But thank you so much for this moment.
Thank you so much, Mamona. I always feel so encouraged when I'm just reminded that there are so many other people around the world who are working on climate justice from all different cultures, from all different backgrounds, all different faiths. Truly, we are not alone and we are in this together. And that's really hopeful. I am missing my bulletin, so I think we're supposed to sing. Here we go. Yeah. We're going to stand and sing. This is our response to everything that Mamona has said. We're singing Touch the Earth Lightly, and that's how we'll close our service today. This is in Voices United. Friends, we go out in the hope and trust that we are not alone. We go with the grace and encouragement of God. We go with the power, the resurrected power of Christ. We go with the Holy Spirit that calls us to connect to all other human beings and to work together for the good of the earth. And we go with each other's blessing. Cadence is going to play a parting blessing for us. We forgot to put the words in the bulletin, so you're invited to hum along. And peace be with all of you as we go into the rest of this day. Amen.